B-Pod Studios.
First FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field. Top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike and Sinelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Yeah, it's the best show on earth. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. It's Friday. We're live on radio and on television, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, watching us on TV. Today's a Friday, and we have no football to talk about for the first time all year. We've got two other teams that we have to, we don't even have to say anything about them, frankly. Because I don't really care who wins, to be honest. I think that there are two teams that are going to win and meet for the Super Bowl. But once the Eagles have bailed out, our interest level wanes. So we won't talk much about that. But we will talk about Philadelphia sports and how we are as people. Because I love this. Tyrone and I were talking before the show. And I knew this was going to happen with Tyrone because he watched the Sixers game last night, right? And you had to be impressed with the Sixers game. They played really well. Maybe their best game of the year. And dispatched a fairly decent team. Now, it's not a team that maybe was ahead of them in the pecking order, but it's a team that will probably meet in the playoffs, or most now could meet in the playoffs if it's a 4-5 situation. And I think last night they proved they were much better than the Indiana Pacers. So what that said to me is that in a 7-game series, if they have to play the Pacers, they're going to move on to the second round. But Tyrone is one of these guys that reacts more heavily than I do. And it's a flaw of mine. I am not trying to laud myself here for being so skeptical of getting over to the other side and saying, yeah, that's good, right? You're more like you were all about the Sixers today. You know,
yes.
Oh, the great guys, Sixers, what did they prove to you now? Blah, 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 and you're going on and on and on.
Yes.
Right? Now, you might be right. I might be wrong. What is it about me that holds back until I actually am convinced and I see it? I was convinced last night of one thing, that they're better than the Pacers. That did not convince me last night that they're better in a 7-game series in Milwaukee, that they're better in a 7-game series against Boston, that they're better in a 7-game series against Toronto. Now, that's probably my flaw, because most of the people that watched that game last night said, damn, look at this. This is a good squad. This is why we got Jimmy Butler. That's why Embiid is an MVP candidate. Look at the way Ben Simmons got up and down the court. He didn't even score, but he influenced the game defensively. So, Tyrone, first of all, I want you to explain what that victory meant to you last night.
What it meant to me, I'm paying attention to how they're playing and the opponent. They're playing really good defense all of a sudden. I like that. I think that this team is built with Embiid, Butler, and Simmons to play really good defense in a playoff situation. I'm trying to project.
All right.
Now, I'm not saying automatically they're going to beat Toronto or beat Boston, but the one team that's really vulnerable to some tough defense is the Bucks team, because they're very reliant on one player.
Mm-hmm.
I know they didn't play them. What I'm looking at is what the Sixers did on defense and what the Sixers were able to do on offense against a team. They score 120 on a team that holds people to 99.
Uh-huh.
That does something for me. And it gives me some hope with this coach. People have been up and down with this coach. He had the guys ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid wasn't 100% physically. Ben wasn't 100% scoring.
Right.
They still find a way to win by 20 points.
Yeah.
When a team doesn't have their A game and they win by a blowout, that tells me something. So I'm encouraged by the game.
All right. And I'm encouraged by the game, too. It taught me they're better than Indiana. It taught me they're going to beat Indiana in a 7-game series. That's what it taught me. Now, you know, I'm reluctant to give in completely unless I see something repeatedly. repeatedly convinces me of the merits of a particular player or a particular team. So one game in January is not going to tell me that they're good enough to beat Toronto in a seven-game series. I reserve the right to continue to follow this storyline. And to me, the only way they get to that level is if they add to their team. Now, is that underreacting? As opposed to your overreacting, am I underreacting? And the question is, when is it appropriate to overreact? And when is it overreacting?
You know what? I feel like your entire premise is unfair.
Really?
Your entire premise.
My entire premise is unfair?
Yes.
Well, it's all I have.
Your entire premise to me, and when you watch the Sixers, Ben Simmons is his second year playing in the NBA. No person, no team is held to the standard that you're holding the Sixers to. Jordan wasn't. LeBron wasn't.
What standard am I holding them to?
If they're not beating Toronto or Boston, it's useless. That's basically what you're saying.
Yes.
They didn't hold Michael Jordan to that.
Wait a minute. Hold a second. Are we expecting the Sixers to do more than they did last year? Isn't that the idea?
If they did more, that would mean they would get to the conference finals and lose to Toronto or Boston.
Okay. Well, if they got to the conference finals and they lost to those two teams, I'd have to see how the series played out to see whether I'm satisfied. What I'm telling you right now is that I don't think they can beat those teams now. Hey. If they add a couple players, I'm going to probably say they can.
That's fine.
That's unfair.
The premise is unfair. When Scottie Pippen was in his second year in the league playing with Michael Jordan, everybody's Messiah, they weren't winning titles. They weren't getting to the finals. They didn't, if they don't beat Detroit this season's nothing. That was not the reality. They lost. They were getting swept in the first round.
How do you know how I would have reacted if I was covering the Chicago sports scene? I'm covering the Philadelphia sports scene. I have nothing to do with Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan's teams. I'm looking at this team. I'm examining this squad.
And what I'm saying is that, I work with you every day. I love the high expectations. A lot of that has rubbed off on me. Uh-huh. I'm not that much of a fan. But I have moments in which I watch two young players plus a guy in his prime go out there and stomp a team, and I feel joy in that.
I have tremendous joy. What did I tweet out last night? What did I tweet out? The Sixers are ass-kicking this team or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I loved watching that game. But you're asking me a totally different question. I can be satisfied with last night's game, but it's not going to allow me to translate it to all of a sudden they're going to be the Eastern Conference champions. I'm a harder sell than you.
I agree with you about the Eastern Conference champion.
In the same note, what we were talking about before the show, you're also a hard sell because you hate the fans that make judgments before it's time.
Yes, I do.
You hate that. This is a dichotomy here. You are willing to let yourself go off a damn bobsled ride with the Sixers. And in other areas, you're skeptical and you chastise other people for saying, well, this guy's great, or this coach is great, or this coach isn't great. You're saying that we make judgments too soon on things.
We do in this city, though.
Okay, well, I don't.
No, you never do, but sometimes I feel like you don't. I feel like you're a start guy and a finish guy. But you're a writer. You're a writer by trade. You wrote books. You're a writer. That's how you got in this business. You're a writer. The story, I feel like you no longer care about the story. You're a destination guy.
Incorrect. Because when I followed that Eagles season last year, when they were rolling with Carson Wentz, and they beat Carolina, the first thing I thought about, this is a damn good team that can actually go to the Super Bowl. That was my conclusion, because my eyes told me that. Now, my eyes in one game of 82 last night with the Sixers is not going to tell me that they're going to win the Eastern Conference. Because I know from seeing thousands and thousands of games that they need more than what they have to do that.
And
that's not unfair. I can appreciate what they did last night. I love the way Embiid played last night. Jimmy Butler, I was in love with Jimmy Butler last night. I even texted you about Butler.
You did. You talked about how golden he was on both ends.
He was gold.
Yes.
Last night. Redick missed his first three shots and buried six in a row coming with that dribble handoff play. Right? I love the way that game transpired last night. Beating Indiana Pacers team at home. It was a great win. Show me in the manual, in the NBA manual, says one game over the Indiana Pacers makes the Sixers the Eastern Conference champions when they're throwing guys off the bench the way they do. Because those four can't play 42 minutes. All right? That's what I know.
And I agree with
you. It's a great four. They can't play 42 minutes.
And I agree with you.
All right.
I do. But I feel like I got more joy from it than you got.
You didn't see me at home.
That's a good point.
I was jumping in the air.
No, you weren't.
I was dancing with my dog.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
I was throwing a little squeaky toy to Shima last night in glee.
All right. Sure. I believe you. If you say that's what you were doing, I'll believe you. Why not? It's a Friday.
I'd like to see that myself.
Why not?
Seriously.
Okay. I'll go with that. It felt like you didn't have the joy.
I was hopping around, man.
Okay. All right.
All right. There's a bigger portion to this discussion we want to talk about that involves the Eagles and Doug Peterson and all this kind of thing. Because Tyrone, it's really funny because he is down on the fans that come to quick conclusions. And yet today he's down on me because I didn't come to a quick conclusion. Now that, my friends, is a dichotomy. 610-632-0975. By the way, Charles Barkley said something last night that the Sixers are, you know, he goes overboard when he talks about stuff, right? So I try to get Charles to that. Now, Charles is a buddy, but sometimes he'll go tone deaf, like when you try to get in touch with him. And I think like, this is like one of these things where he said it and he doesn't have to want to explain it again. So I haven't heard back from him, but we'll get into what he said because I almost kind of agree with him. He said the Sixers were stupid for playing Embiid. Now, there's two sides of this tale here, and we'll get to that on the other side. 610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli shows on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Another Sixers win. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades, helping our community. Sixers beat the Pacers last night, 120-96. Jimmy Butler had 27 points.
Now Simmons going right at that. Hangs goes to Jimmy, and Jimmy Butler with a two-hand jam. Yeah, Ben Simmons in the paint with the fish. Simmons with his fourth assist, and Jimmy Butler now with 11.
They'll play the Thunder tomorrow at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 3:30. Flyers will take the ice again tomorrow night against the Canadiens. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Brian Westbrook joins Mike in studio today from 4 to 5. Our Big Green Giveaway keyword is coming up at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. Join Trey Thomas this Saturday from noon to 2 at Sprint by Arch Telecom on Concord Pike in Wilmington to pick up tickets to Mark and Trey's Super Bowl party on February 1st. Are your kids ready for cold and flu season? Infants and young children have a good chance of getting the flu. Check for fevers with the Exogen Temporal Scanner, the number one choice of pediatricians and the most accurate. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Mussinelli on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, it's the 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. We have a special treat on this show today. Football Friday, right? Brian Westbrook joins us from 4 to 5. He's going to be in the studio. He's going to be live in the studio today.
It's exciting.
Ooh.
About that?
Like
B. West hanging out with us.
Yeah,
he can't have my chair, though.
We set
him up. Sorry, B. West. Got the other chairs.
Yeah.
All right, the Twitter poll today is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons from Snowblowers and Generators and Small Engines. Every part for every machine in stock. When you need it, Moyer will help you keep you going this winter. Natalie.
Today's poll, which championship game are you looking forward to more? Rams Saints or Patriots Chiefs? Over 500 votes on this early. 25% saying Rams Saints. 75% going Patriots Chiefs. Clearly, probably for Andy. I would bet.
Which I don't get.
I know you don't get it.
There are some things that people have to explain to me today. Like, I have, like, a series of questions that people have to explain to me.
And the love for Andy Reid is still one of them.
The love for Andy Reid is one of them.
Yeah.
Or the reaction to Andy Reid. Like, I'm like completely numb to a reaction to Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why should I react to Andy Reid? And again, I'm odd. I'm the odd one here. I'm not saying anybody else is odd. I'm odd.
No, I agree with you. I don't really feel any sort of allegiance to him because he didn't win a Super Bowl for me.
Yeah, and the other thing is the Gabe Kapler thing. Like, why are people so, I don't know, not intimidated, but strangely put off by Gabe Kapler?
I guess because he's articulate?
Is that what it is? Or he's just like, he talks different than we do here? Or like, I don't understand.
He's extremely articulate, and I think it intimidates people.
I don't think it's just that, though. I think he's a weird egg.
Yeah, he's a weird egg, but he's not the first weird egg to come through town.
But he's so different from us as a weird egg. Like, a guy who's that tan and that groomed and speaks with that voice in that way. I think that whole Philly tough guy thing is faux. I hate it. I hate to talk about it. We're not Rocky Balboa. Like, I think it's stupid. Right. But I do, when I think of a profile of a Philadelphian, he's about as opposite as they come. So as long as he wins, it's fine. But if he's not winning, I don't think the people are going to love him. Now, sometimes different is like we embrace Charlie, but not at first. People thought Charlie was an idiot at first. It took him winning for people to embrace him. But at first, because he was different from us. Boa, they embraced, even though Boa wasn't as good a manager as Charlie was, but we embraced him because he was one of us. I think we don't like different, and he's very different. So until he wins, we're not going to like him. That's what I think.
See, baseball managers to me have no effect. Like, other coaches have much more of an effect on me than baseball managers. Baseball managers are placeholders. That's all they are to me.
But he,
now, I like Charlie Manuel, too, and I like talking baseball with him. But baseball managers are placeholders. If you have good players, you become a good manager. It's the test of time. Like, even the greatest managers who have had bad seasons, what did they do? Lose their ability to manage? It's all about, baseball is all about players. And all a manager has to do is keep players in his clubhouse comfortable enough to go on the field to give their best performances. It's nothing they can do, really, to influence the game to a large degree like other coaches can. Other coaches are calling plays. Other coaches are writing strategy. You're not doing that in baseball. It all depends on the guy you send to the mound and the guy you put in the batter's box. That's all baseball is.
Even in this era with all the analytics and all the shifts and all that stuff.
This analytics is nice and it helps you shape your defense. I get it. But the bottom line is you send a guy in a batter's box and he performs, you're a good manager. If you send a guy to the mound and he gives you 7 innings, you're a good manager. All right, but it's finding those guys that is the key.
All right.
The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit their new location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. All right. The other thing that I wanted to touch on with Tyrone, because Tyrone and I go through this thing pregame, and you write a dissertation about the things that are going on and things, the angles that we should explore and all kinds of things. And so on a day when you're enamored and you want to take the Sixers victory up to, like, the O'Brien trophy.
Okay.
You also write this. We are a city filled with people who love to dig in. They make a decision on somebody very early and won't back down.
Yeah.
Now, reconcile the two thoughts with me here.
Because the Sixers played their 46th game.
Uh-huh.
They're on a much better pace than last year. They're playing well. There's more to it than just one night.
Right.
Also, they added another star. So I'm projecting, but I'm not projecting blindly.
Uh-huh.
This is what I mean, though. Doug Peterson was hired 3 years ago today. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
People decided right away that he was a bad hire. He was a buffoon, blah, blah, blah. Now, even though he won a Super Bowl after that, and then this year wins a playoff game, which is we can't just take for granted in Philadelphia because we've had tons of coaches that never won a playoff game. Chip, Buddy Ryan, or tons of coaches like that. So we can't ever take that for granted. There are still a certain amount of people who don't like him or not sold on him because they still want Gruden and stuff like that because of that first impression. That And it happens both ways. Sometimes if they have a positive first impression, we dig in on those and we don't allow the data to change our minds. And what bothers me is, to me, Doug should be getting a lot of love, not every call or whatever, but far and wide, he should be lauded. And he's not lauded the way that he should be. And I think it's because people's first impression wasn't positive.
Hmm.
And that's what bothers me. And I don't, because he's done nothing but overachieve. And I know, like, no one wins the Super Bowl every
year.
He's
had his moments of Stu Nodville.
He has, but I think
that's got to go in the equation. When you're evaluating somebody, if he has shown some elements of Stu Nod, then you got to take that into consideration.
Yes, but if we're watching every coach as closely as we watch Doug, there's a lot of Stu Nod. I remember when the Patriots had their 10-year gap of not winning the Super Bowl. They were playing the Colts.
Was he a Stu Nod? Was he ever a Stu Nod?
He was.
He was?
There was a time where he went for up on fourth down from his own 30.
Yeah, that was a bad move.
Didn't get it.
Worst move of his career.
Right. I'm saying that moments of Stu Nod happen to every coach. But by and large, this guy, whatever we want to say, has been the ultimate success.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not beloved like that 3 years later. And to me, he should be. And he's not because he was the fourth choice and guys wanted somebody else and blah, blah, blah. And they allowed that initial thing.
So they will never now give him credit.
Never give him his full credit. Hold they up. Won't say he's a bad coach, but they won't. This guy winning the playoff game this year, that matters in Philadelphia sports history.
All right.
Relative to the city.
We'll kick those concepts around. Let's go to the phones. Let's go Rich in Northeast Philly. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Rich?
Oh, I was listening to you earlier, and I'm the same way. I agree with you about the you can't go all in until you see some sort of consistency, because to me, without the consistency, you run the chance of it just being a fluke. Mm-hmm. So I need to see it repeated several times so I know, okay, this is how they play. This is consistently how they play every night. And personally for me, the reason I am that way, there's probably two reasons. One reason is I've gone all in, and not just in sports, but in all facets of life. I've gone all in and then was burned later. And then, I don't want that feeling. And two, if you go all in and they lose, then it's like a heartbreak, so it's like protecting yourself from feeling that kind of. That's the reason I do it. I don't know what you're.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about getting my heart broken going all in. I'll go all in with the best of them. When I know a team is good, I'm in. The Sixer team with Allen Iverson, they had the four cogs with Larry Brown coaching. I was all in. I was convinced that team was going to do something because they played the game perfectly. Right? So I'm not averse to going all in. I just look at this. I go, the Sixers have four very good players on the floor when they start the game.
Right.
They can't play 42 minutes, those guys. So if they beat the Indiana Pacers last night, that showed me they're better than the Pacers, but they might not be better than the other three teams. I've got to see that. It's an ongoing process.
Right, I totally understand what you're saying on that. I'm the same way because I need to see it because, but again, for my reasons, I protect myself and.
Yeah, I know it when I see it. I always say this, it's like pornography. I don't define it, but I know it when I see it.
I don't know if you remember, I think it was two seasons ago, the Flyers went on a 10-game winning streak and then literally lost 10 in a row after that. So, but. That 10-game stretch, I would have been convinced that, okay, this team means business. They're good. They're on their way. And then they lose 10 games after that.
Yeah, it's the way they play. To me, it's just the way they play. Now, the Iverson team, the way they played, was defensively perfect because four guys were role players who sacrificed their entire game to play the way Larry Brown wanted to play. And then they had a guy who could make a shot anytime he wanted. So anytime you hit a basket, you had that guy. That team convinced me that they were going places. They had a level playing field of excellence. The Eagles, last year, they beat Carolina. They started to have that level playing field of excellence. Under Wentz, they won 11-13. I go, this team is damn good. I was convinced. I didn't need any more. This team, the Sixer team, has not gotten me to that point. It just hasn't. There are a couple reasons why. Because they have two great players, and Jimmy Butler is just a fantastic player who adds, and Redick is what Redick is. But they turn the ball over a ton in the backcourt, and they hadn't been able to defend on the perimeter. Last night, they did that. They defended the perimeter. They took Indiana's game completely away from them. So that, all right, so they're better than Indiana. Now let me see where it goes to the next level. I'm just a harder sell. I've been in this business for too long to overreact to one game, Tyrone.
I get it, but it's not like this was the first game of the season, Mike.
They won two good games in a row. They beat a Minnesota team badly. They played very well in that game. That other team wasn't very engaged. Indiana was engaged last night. They beat the drawers off them last night. They took them apart. All right, I can learn something from that. But I didn't learn they're going to beat Toronto in a seven-game series from last night.
But the thing is, I didn't either. What I'm saying is I saw glimpses to where if they can bring that level of defense, and they can't turn the ball over that way, but if they can bring that tenacity they brought on both ends and shoot the ball well, that projects against any team is what I'm saying. I agree that Toronto's better. I still think Boston's better. The team where I really think the Sixers are better than the Bucks. I don't have proof yet, so I don't blame you if you don't agree.
In a seven-game series.
In a seven-game series.
I think they're in the regular season, maybe they want to get they're better than the Bucks on a certain night.
I think in a seven-game series because the gap between their number one player and number two player is so big, as good as Middleton is, I think in a seven-game series
and,
they're better.
And you might be right.
That's where I'm at.
A guy like me has to see that first.
That's fine. But what I'm saying is that Sixers team, I was working with you during that time.
Mm-hmm.
You had a joy when you watched that
team. I bought season tickets.
You loved that team.
I did.
That was the last team that I personally know of that you loved.
Because they played perfect basketball together. That's why I loved it.
At least
and when you watched it with your eyes, you could see it. It was gears that just clicked and meshed. It was the perfect. It was the perfect way to play with that team. And that guy was a genius for coaching it that way.
And I'm saying that the Sixers can get there. They're not there. What I saw was a glimpse to where if this continues, and now we're talking on February 18th, now I'm saying they could get to where they're the team that I love. I'm seeing things there, especially defensively. Just like that team was all about that defense. I'm seeing things defensively. A rim protector, and Simmons, who's a Swiss Army knife guy, goes inside. I'm seeing glimpses. And even Bolden, this is what
I'm glad you brought him up.
On defense, I'm talking about.
I got some tweets last night. You're wrong on Bolden, dude.
Yeah,
I get a lot of those tweets. You know why? I hope I'm wrong on Bolden. But what my point is that I have to see a lot more of Bolden to really think that he's a contributor. All right? Everybody is going to have an occasional game. My God, you saw it with Furkan Korkmaz, and people went crazy because he made a few jump shots. But the longer you see a guy, the more you see his flaws. And now that guy doesn't get off the bench. And I said the same thing about other guys that you badgered me about. You don't know what you're talking about. TLC can play. You don't know what you're talking about. Nick Stauskas can play. You just hate white players. I remember saying, I'm watching a guy last night. As soon as he came into the league, I said, he can't play in his league. People killed me. You know who it was? Doug McDermott.
Oh, yeah, he can't play a lick.
He can't play in this league.
Can't play a lick.
I said it from day one, and he came in from Creighton. You don't know what you're talking about. Doug McDermott will score in this league. He stinks.
He does.
All right?
He does.
So I have a kind of an instinct for, unless he proves me wrong, I see something in players that don't convince me. They'll have their occasional nights. But that team, like the guys Larry Brown brought off the bench, were nobodies that all contributed.
Even Jumaine Jones and those guys.
Jumaine Jones.
Aaron McKee, obviously.
The Sheriff, Rodney Buford.
Yeah, they all helped.
Every guy that came off the bench contributed. I want to see it with my own eyes.
Rajah Bell contributed.
Rajah Bell from nowhere.
Yeah, he contributed.
Those guys all contributed. This bench, I don't see the guy that contributes every single night that you throw in there and you know you're going to get something from him.
I agree. But I think that I see glimpses with Bolden because he's athletic like Holmes, but he actually seems to know where the hell to rotate to. Holmes never had a clue of where to go.
Holmes was another one. He was defensively flawed.
Right.
And when I'm saying that, people, you don't know what you're talking about.
You were right. Bolden looks like he has some instincts about where to be, and an athletic guy who knows where to be can help you.
Okay.
And that's what I think.
Show it to me in 15 straight games, and I'll have Bolden posters in front of the damn Wells Fargo Center.
All right? Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that one.
Exactly. All right. I'm not one of these guys that can't learn. I just have to see it before I come to your side.
I can live with that.
All right. That's Let's go to Brian in Philly. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Yo, Mike, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Brian?
I want to talk about Ben Simmons for a minute.
Go ahead.
So I used to work for a tabloid news website. It was similar to like TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
So I still get all the inside scoop of all the athletes and celebrities.
Right.
Well, basically, you know how we used to get worried that Kendall Jenner was going to get into Ben's head after the breakup or whatever. Well, now it's apparent that Ben Simmons is now dating Caitlyn Jenner. So,
yeah, now, Brian, I got to ask you a question. What makes you tick? Seriously, what makes a guy like that tick? To call up a radio station, like, just so he can say to his buddies,
yo, man, dude, I called Mike Miss's show, and I said Ben Simmons was involved with Caitlyn Jenner.
It's weird.
Like, what makes a guy, what's wrong with people?
Jealousy, mostly.
And it's like, this is the kind of human behavior that throws me for a loop.
Mostly insecurity.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, gets attention. Yeah. It doesn't matter what kind. It's just attention.
That guy probably can't even hold a basketball with two hands. So he's like, I'll call Mikey Miss.
That
and,
little in your life that you would wait on hold just to do that because you know you're going to get cut off right away. Like, what? Like, come on, man. Get a girlfriend would be nice.
No.
Like, you know, whatever you need.
That's like, completely foreign to him.
Read a book. Watch Narcos, season of Narcos. You got something to do that's got to be better than that, right?
Yeah, but he knows nothing of the touch of a woman. Nothing of the touch of a woman. He has no idea. Blow his mind.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be a touch of a woman.
Or whatever.
There's something missing preference. In the cat's life. Costello and Fox Chase, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Costello.
Mikey Miz, how are you?
What's up, Costello?
I just want to talk a little Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressed from last night's game, but I got to be honest with you. I just can't see the progression with having Simmons handle the ball. I just kind of think McConnell needs to be the one.
Costello, you're kidding me, right? You're not bringing that to this show today, are you? Costello, do you know anything?
I'm in my 50s. I've been watching the Sixers a long time.
I can't even respond to that. It's so ridiculous.
You don't feel that Simmons needs to be under, needs to be a 3 or 4?
No.
I can't see that. I really can't.
Do you ever notice when he's got the ball in his hands flying down the court? Do you ever watch that at all? Do you ever watch him get to the basket anytime he wants? Do you take notice of that stuff?
I do.
You evidently don't. If you're going to call me, you're better off with TJ McConnell starting at the one. You're an idiot.
No, I'm not.
With all due respect, you have no idea what basketball's about. You couldn't spell basketball if I spotted you B-A-S-K.
Really?
For you to come out and say something like that. It's so ridiculous. It might be the most ridiculous call I've taken in the past 6 months.
Come on, Mikey. You know it's right. Seriously.
Costello, listen. I have no response. Dennis in New Jersey. Dennis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dennis.
Overrated.
They were yelling last night at Joel, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was overrated.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the game, it's been a good game. I was a little worried when I seen him in the first half, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And second half, he came out looking for a different person.
Yeah, he got some treatment. I actually was weighing it last night. You know, he obviously couldn't stand up tall. He had something going on with the back. It was stiff. You could tell it was stiff. So I'm going, okay, put this on the scale. The ability to win a statement game versus his overall health. And I was weighing that the whole game. And so when Barkley said what he said, it was something I thought about also, whether they needed to play him. Now, how many minutes did he play last night?
I don't know.
I thought they could have cut down his minutes. I think he wound up playing 35 minutes. I think it was 35 minutes that he played. I thought that was a lot for his back being in condition. You know, I think they could have iced him for the entire fourth quarter. He wound up, he was playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they took him out with 5 minutes left?
Yep.
The game was in hand.
Yeah, I was on the tightrope last night with that. I didn't know where to go, but I think it was really important for them to win that game there. So they took the chance, and hopefully they survived.
Well, they're ahead of last year. Was that the 30th win last night?
Yeah, that's all well and good, but that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Like the win total doesn't mean anything. It's the ability to beat somebody in a 7-game series that right now looks like they're a little better than you because you're not deep enough.
But they need two more guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I guess they're waiting for the buyouts.
Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah. So we'll see how slick he is.
Tyrone. Is he there?
Yeah, he's there. What? Go ahead.
Good show last night.
Oh, the Outsiders?
Thank you.
Good show.
Did you get
good.
A little sparring with Crystal last night?
We agreed last night.
You agreed on what?
Pretty much the whole thing. We noticed that before we were going over the show during the post-game mm-hmm. show, doing our little rundown. We were kind of on the same page, so it made it easy. Really, I was sparring with the people.
So you're sparring?
Yeah, the people.
Why were the people agitating you last night?
You still get the people. I said we have to give Brett Brown credit because mm-hmm. when they lose, it's fire Brett Brown.
Right.
I said it can't be when they win, mm-hmm. it's the players. When they lose, it's him.
Right.
I was like, you got to give the guy some credit.
Right.
Instead, I then get a bunch of tweets saying, don't be fooled, Tyrone. This guy still stinks as a coach. Still fire Brett. And I'm like, enough. I can't. There's three things I'm tired of hearing after individual losses. Fire Brett Brown. Trade Ben Simmons and beat is soft. If I see those three things, I just can't take it. After an individual, one loss and fire Brett Brown, trade Ben and be soft. Like, stop. He's not soft. You don't trade Ben because you don't trade him. And Brett Brown, you do not fire in season. You want to fire him after the playoffs because you see something wrong? Okay, but not now. It's silly. I just can't take it.
Yeah, he's changing things up and getting, he's getting Butler involved in a different situation. Where yep. Butler's not standing around as much. He's a lot more involved with the basketball and working things with Embiid and stuff like that. You know, Jimmy Butler, here's the thing that is so impressive about him. He's got that little hop to the rim, gather score, where he never doesn't score.
Yeah.
Like, when he's always in perfect balance. Hop to the rim, gather, bank. Short, like 6-footer.
You gotta be
always.
You gotta be strong to do that.
You gotta be strong to do that. Always in balance. Hop to the rim. Always in position. Always open to rise above somebody. He's amazing at that. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 249, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, some news, some breaking news here. I just heard from the one and only Charles Barkley, and he will join the show during the 4 o'clock hour when we have Brian Westbrook on live. So we'll have B-West and Barkley on at the same time. You're not going to get that anywhere. Where else are you going to get that?
Nowhere. Wow.
You're not
going to
get that anywhere else.
Come on. Happy Friday.
Come on.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And Charles, everything Charles says, like he said a couple things now, Charles says becomes world news.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he said the thing about the Sixers last night, the stupidest organization ever for letting Embiid play. And a couple days before that, he said Kyrie Irving threw his teammates under the bus for calling the LeBron to apologize and all that kind of stuff. So we got some issues to talk about with Chuck.
That's yeah. great.
He may have some views on the wall, too. And not the Pink Floyd wall.
No, he has some views.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about...
You know what wall
the
you're
wall
talking
around,
about.
Oh. The wall they're going to build around New Mexico, so New Mexicans can't come into Texas.
Oh, I thought you meant the new TV that me and Ty were talking about. What? There's a new TV called The Wall.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's 219 inches.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Samsung.
Oh. You going to get it?
It's called The Wall.
I can't afford it.
Man, you work at Sixers Outside or 7 days a week?
I work plenty, but no, I can't afford
it's
it.
It's 15K.
Yeah. Come
on, spend
man.
Some of that Sixer Outsider money.
Come on, man.
Don't be shy with that Sixer Outsider money.
Save that.
You'd be in the game.
You know what's bad about being an adult? This is what makes me mad. Years ago, with this Sixers Outsider, which isn't money like you're talking, I would buy some frivolous things, like some nice things, my clothes, maybe some jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saving. You know what I'm using my Sixers Outsiders money for? Seriously?
What's that?
The landscaping around my house. I'm going to get some new stonework, new sod, help with the deck. That's what I'm using Sixers Outsiders for. That is not a way. 21-year-old version of me is looking at me just so disappointed.
You'd get the wall TV.
I did, yeah.
So you, instead, you want your home to look nice.
Yeah, but I know.
Nobody needs a wall TV, seriously.
You 219 really, inches. Can you imagine?
Anybody in America really need a wall TV?
Mike, you have a purchase. I'm not going to, that you showed me the day before the show.
I got a bow tie.
You don't need it. But you got it. I'm glad you did. You don't need anything. You need like a stove and a bed. You don't need anything. And a car. Yeah. You don't need.
It's a tux bow tie made out of pheasant feather.
Come on, man.
It's beautiful.
It's very nice.
It's in this beautiful brown box. Did you bring it in here?
It comes in its own wood box.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to say it on the air. But you should show the people during the next segment now.
I, for one, have never seen a pheasant bow tie.
Me neither.
It's the latest rage.
It's really nice. But you didn't need it.
Pheasant feathers.
You're going to look fly. No pun intended. Fly with those feathers.
It's an indulgence. But, you know,
that's what I mean.
I don't indulge very much, to be honest with you.
Right, and I'm paying for landscaping. Not indulging at all.
That's going to increase the property value of your house, so you're really not paying for anything.
And it's also it makes me lazy because I'm due to stone, so it's low maintenance. I don't feel like doing that stuff on Saturday.
You know, people come to your house, you're going to sell that house. I would go to a bigger house, which you probably will. People come over and go, oh, this landscape, is that from that Sixer Outsider money?
Hey. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
They know all about it. Earl in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Earl.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Earl?
Chilling. I'm just calling to take your brain today.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, I want to talk about the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear everybody keep saying how Ben Simmons. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on the Sixers. I love the Sixers. Sixers is my team. But I keep hearing about people saying he's a generational talent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Manute Bol's son is, Bol Bol?
Yeah.
Have you seen him play?
Yes.
What do you think about him?
He's not a generational player. I mean, he's got, like, potential, but he's got a lot of work to do.
I mean, but you wouldn't say his game would be better than Ben Simmons within a year or two?
Do you know how many guys can do what Ben Simmons do at that size and speed? How many guys do you think can play like Ben Simmons?
The only thing that Ben Simmons don't have is a jump shot, and that's very important.
I get it, and that's a flaw, and that's got to be rectified. But how many players have you seen come into the league with Ben Simmons-like ability?
But that's what I'm trying to say. Right now, the only person that I see will come in a league like that will be Bol Bol.
Bol Bol, huh? You got Bol Bol on that same level? Come on, man.
Or Ben Simmons, just because of the simple fact. He can shoot, he can score, he can rebound.
Bol Bol he's rail skinny, first of all, right? He's not the consensus number one pick coming out of this draft. Come on, man. Ben Simmons was the number one consensus number one.
I understand
Come on, Earl, you're killing me.
Look how many number ones that came into the league that was bust.
What do you see when you see Ben Simmons? What do you see?
No, don't get me wrong. I love Ben Simmons. I love Ben Simmons. I grew up.
You love Ben Simmons, and you're saying Bol Bol would be better than him?
Just because of some effect that he can shoot.
In a
year or two, if the same weight training that Simmons got, he will be better.
Bol Bol. Earl, you just darkened my Friday. I was feeling good about it until you Bol Bol me. But
I grew up playing with the Maurice twins, and they are my cousins. I grew up playing with them. I'm a 6'5".
Oh, good for you!
You know, I'm saying I know how to play basketball.
And I'm sure you do. But guess what? If you're comparing Bol Bol to Ben Simmons, you don't know a lot about basketball. You might have played it, but you don't know a lot. We're going into a break. Bol Bol.
He's going in the teens. In the draft. He's in the teens. He's not considered an elite prospect.
Yeah, well,
the amount of times
I've seen some top 10 predictions for him, but he's not. Come on, man.
Well, that was before the knee, and he's hurt now, too.
Stop it. Mike Mussinelli Show, 3 o'clock hours ahead, right here on 97.5 Fanatic. And
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.